It's one of the really sacred temples. It's two pentagons in the line of origin. Okay. Because we're depending on the source of the meat and the blood and the mustard of the world. And everybody is interested in hearing us. So we don't know which good world over there, not every year. Sometimes two or three, sometimes one, another year nothing. I saw the island the first time in 1926 when I came by on the old Indian service post office. We stopped there probably 10 days and then I left on the bus with such a thing. The next trip I went up on the revenue cattle and stayed over the window and returned the next fall to the university. I did that two times, and during those two windows, I observed the way of the natives on the island. I left with them. And consequently, I saw all the ceremonies that they had before the wedding season started and after. Also, I was allowed to sign on a wedding ship, a whaleboat. And so I could see the whole thing in detail. I also was allowed to partake of the ceremony to keep the whaling season, usually in early April. We have, for instance, first the rope worship, then comes the boat worship, then comes the worship. Doesn't mean that they worship the moon. There are four or five. At that time, there were five groups in the village of Sambo, which belong together. And each group has their worship at a certain time, a certain place of the moon. And in the olden days, they had no calendar, but they wouldn't miss it by day when the worship took place for the different groups. It is very simple. There are old men standing up on top of a mound in the village. They'll be there early in the morning. And they watch when the sun comes up over a certain peak of the hill behind the village. That they watch that when it gets in between some 50 feet or so, then that's the time for this one to worship. The moon comes up a little further all the time every day, and when it gets over 10 or 6, then it's this one time to worship, and so on, until all the groups have to worship. During this worship, during that time, there is no visiting between groups. That visit is taboo. When I stand on, I should not go over to my friends over here or over here and talk to them. I had to stay over with my group. I could visit all I wanted around my group. But I never could have got the attitude. During the one worship is rather serious, and that's the boat worship when the captain prepares all the food and the chants of the prayers, you might say. And it's a very, it's got an interesting number too, and I didn't his own crew members could witness that. But when I listened to his song, I could only go in there after he talked it over with his brother, who was rather reluctant to let me be in there at the station when he was doing that. He chants the whole night long. He always stops. He doesn't need a distance. And his wife is coming every now and then and bring a bowl of water. Brings a plate full of chopped up fish and reindeer meat and reindeer fat. And there's a spoon, the pasta there, all set up in small morsels. And he's sort of blessing that thing, and he sings over that, and he's very intense about his thinking and singing. I saw all that, and the only reason I took the topic of that is because I didn't understand any of the things he's saying. So that let him ease a little bit and pursue it. Those are the ceremonies before the hunting. But now we go to the hunting. The ceremonies to tell you about those that take several hours. The hunting in April, around middle of April, the different groups will have all the boats on the beach. The beach at that time is still full of ice. It's piled up on the beach, and each group has to cut the boat through down the way where it could pull the boat down and back up again. On top of the bank, it's about 20 feet high at the end of where we were, a little lower there, the middle of the boat row. On the bank is the boat, and that's equipped with a mast, a sail, the harpoon, the shoulder gun, the captain's paddle, and the anchor, and they had a motor in there, which however was never used during the whale hunting. A motor is only used after the hunt to kill the whale and the shore. Day and night, the men watching the sea, we almost know it to the day, and some claim that they know exactly the day when the first flow can be seen as a whale. As soon as a spout is seen, they all pull the boats down, all independently. Therefore, when there's the captain who steers, he's the owner of the boat. There's a striker who's on the bow of the boat. There are two men who throw the poke. The hook throws. Hook and the rope with which the anchor the hook to the whale of his harpoon. Then there's a man there who does nothing but point to the sail according to the wind, and it's the captain who tries to bring the boat over the hill. You know exactly by the sounding, you'll wonder easy enough. The boat, the whale comes up and starts. Then it goes down. It'll come up very lazily and starts here again. The usual starts two times. By that time, they'll try to get the sail ready and get over to that between the second and third spot. The third spot after that it goes down, but you have to get the whale right at the when it comes up the third time or the second time if you're close enough. But the striker, the captain, he steers the boat over the head of the whale, and the striker he strikes the whale and it's other side to the different strike first. But go right over the head. And by that time, he sails over there to the side. And by that time, by the time the whale gets the harpoon on him and the hooks are thrown out, the boat is already past the whale, and the whale then goes down and the sounds and past the hooks down. There are three hooks on each line, or there are two lines with two hooks. The first spotted seals, the two of them are about that high. They're all inflated already with the foil is half in. The rope is wound around the hook, and it's tied together with very fine whalebone, very, very tiny stick. And they throw the whole thing in there. The last hook is a small one. That's the signal. When the last hook comes up over the foot, when that comes up, they know exactly where the whale is. Also, they know that where the whale went. So they will go over there and try to harpoon him again. But the man who struck the whale first, he is done for. He cannot, his tail comes down, and another little hook he has ready goes up there to the mast, to the top of the mast, and nobody can work anymore on that hook. He can do nothing. He's just in reverence to the whale. He stole something, he didn't, and he needed it very much to live in there. So he's he cannot even, if he had a shoulder gun, he could not even sit that anymore. Usually they have a sort of brass shoulder gun in there, but not always. Somebody in the outfit will help. But after the thing, the whale is stuck, anybody can get there and strike him again. And then when the division of the food comes, and they throw the whale into the beach to cut the whale up, the second striker, which is a second person, the third one gets to another person, they're all pounded out and segregated. So many blades of whale bones, and so many ribs, and so many of the tongue, some of the tongue, and some of the mustache, it's all cut up by that rule. They have a standing rule for all those things. Now, when I was there, they were very religious, according to their own way. So there are two Christian families, for example, and the rest of the people were all pagans. They were non-Christian. So there was a little rivalry between the Christians and the non-Christians. And I'm going to tell you now, one day, one of the Christians, an individual who came to our house, I was living with a Christian too, and he complained that when he put the boat in the water this morning, he said the boat nearly sank. So he wasn't very careful during the night, and it's in April, middle of April, it's still dark. And somebody went in there and drilled a hole in the bottom of the boat. When they all went in to try to get a whale, he had to pull back again because it filled up with water. So he didn't know who it was, and he couldn't do very much about it either, but he plugged it up again. He went out later on. The season was quite a while. It's over a month later. But a little things like that did happen over there. When the captain strikes the whale, and the whale is saved then, usually at the last, sometimes at first, it's lined on hooks, and the more lines around it, the more hooks are there, the more tired the whale gets, and when it comes up, it can haul a good enough air, it goes right down again, it's dead. And in no time at all, he was right on top of the water there, and then they steer him with a lantern with a steel lens, the blade is about that long. And they have long handles that it can reach out to get him right in the heart of the top of the thing. When the whale escaped them, then the captain begins to operate. The whale, they let him sink down so he can get over the whale with the whale boat. He takes it right over it, and then he comes back, and he holds up his paddle, his special paddle he has, and he hollers, "Whoa!" three times, and then every time he comes around, he'll do the same thing. It's a kind of weird thing. Then he begins to cut off the flute. The flute, nobody can help with the cut. The flute is taken out and tied right on the bow of the boat. That's the flute. Then the effects of them are removed and they are cast in the water. Then the people who found, I think, are still in there. Sometimes at night time they had very clear bombs. A bomb could explode as soon as it struck a bit of oven down. It could penetrate and explode inside. But that will almost kill the whale at once. But during all the times I lived over there, we never did have a bomb explode. We always had to wear them out with the hook. And sometimes they had old bombs, and sometimes the bombs, and I really believe that many times they go right out of a bell, because the old and the rubber plants they have on there to hold it in is so hard and stumbly that the bomb falls out when it's left before or whatever. Anyhow, it's supposed to float inside the hole and kill them. The people all them hooked on. They hooked on to those harpoons that are in the whale already, diving arms, and they begin to pull the whale ashore. They said it's impossible to throw the shore, and they tie up on an ice floe, and they begin to push the whale up. It comes down to almost cut the skin and the blubber underneath. Then all the meat is impossible to get. Sometimes they take out the heart out in the ice. And if the weather is bad, then they have to forget about the heart and some of the meat to take out. They take home what they can. And everybody can load up. It's really unloaded then on the beach again. And on the beach is being divided by the captain, who's cool. He only directs them. He doesn't do a thing. As a matter of fact, he cannot work for a week. He cannot go out the next day, no matter how many whales are out there. It's just an arrangement they have among themselves, and for some reason, that's the way they've been traveling that for years already. The meat then is divided among, first among the captain and the crew, and the second slicer gets so many slaps of mustard and baleen, then the third one and the fourth one and so on. Then the eyes are taken out by the captain. Every whale he gets, you can tell on a boat captain Father, how many whales he killed during his life. They're all in the shape of a flute, the decoration from the paddle. He takes the flute from the whale's eye and mixes it up with the soot from the lamp, makes a black sand out of it, and he puts another mark on his paddle. So some of them have 8 or 10 on there, some of them have 1, some of them have 4 or 5. The paddle, nobody can touch, it's being tied then to the coat on which the skin boat is tied up on top. That's the one he used for the skin, for the boat worker. That's tied on that, and everybody respects that thing. Then if they don't get the whales don't show up during the day, either if it gets a little late and they usually let the walrus around and kill, then the oldest man can then decide what to do. Usually a couple of them get together, they holler to each other, the boats are all nearby, they holler to each other and then they say, well, no whales, getting late now, we're putting the picture up anyhow. Let's get some of the walrus over there. Then they load up with walrus meat and egrets and smaller seals get what they can, bring home some food anyhow. Then when they're out of the viral threat, sometimes when the flows come on with a lot of female virus, so sometimes there are several hundred on the floor. With the babies, then they pick out some babies and kill the baby, and that's put away for a gift in the cellar, that's much for the next year worship again. Next year, the moon worship will consume that baby. That put it all up, can be given to first the sacrifice to the seed, and then the air, and the tree takes part of eating those things to come with the communion. And then the people who can come down after the worship is over, they'll eat it up. So that's the first step. So in those days, they had Ranger over there, lots of them. But every year they had Ranger stops in Siberia. The relations, they bring that stop over and they keep it up on the outpost. Keep it all covered, and up on the post with the end of that is also kept the water vessel we use, putting water on the animal, then the tray we use for seal oil, and for the fish, and for the baby seal, and for the mudfish, and the fish. That's all kept up under a cover. It won't be removed until the next year. Only the captain can take it down here. He has to have some of his crew members to take it and then handle the other cattle when they bring it in for the workers. Everything is taken care of. The rope has to be almost sacred to give him good luck. The boat has to be sacred. The whole thing centers around the ceremony. When I come the blanket passing off the next day or so in the townships, in the houses. In a way, it's interesting. It's kind of simple that I have to tell you, but when you see it all, it's just kind of a little different. And you have to, when he does the singing and the preparing of the food and preparing of the boats and the ropes, he's dressed in the best of houses. He handles nothing without a glass or nothing. He has a brand new gloves as a rule there, right then, to handle the food and handle the ceremonial vessels too. And so that's the food, and they have to work it. They cannot go out there with their bare hands. They have to have mittens or gloves. They give them to them. If they feel that I want, they come to the ground. I don't know, it's not, yeah, it's not very much. What do you mean, tools happen? Well, they make the blubber space out of steel blades, saw blades, for this one. They call it blubber space. But with oven guns, it's a catamaran invention that has iron in front, a long iron with a harpoon housing. Then you have the place for the shell. It's a shell about that long. By which the harpoon is cut through the bell. And they're catamaran, they are made in a new boat for them. Then the brass gun is a modern thing. The ones I was on, I rode with two different artists that belong to them. They had their well books, New Bed had well books, but there are some there had onions. Then Roman wells could be on the ice or on a boat. Only one family, the daddy had not enough men for a cure. His two daughters were allowed to go out, but they always worked for themselves somewhere. They couldn't go near the other boats at all. When I came down with the Atahat, a boat, Atahat was a Christian, but he had two people, a father and his son, from Siberia. And the Siberian insisted that I should stay ashore. He didn't want me on there at all. And in Siberia, I understand no white man ever goes out on a boat, hailing this notice. And I had nearly all the garments there. I made his note over there from Stranger Heights and Clayston. But I had a white man bag on. And he refused to, he was the sailor tender. He refused to go on the boat. And so, so we had to, entire house had to go to, sorcerer to prescribe to sell some, amulet on the belt that would, prescribe us. I should have taken a rope, any kind of rope, a steel spring rope, or a rigorous rope that would be alright. But I never could handle it, so I could I tried to make out with the belt I had to tie around the other side of the carpet. Also, I make a mistake by, for instance, pointing at a rail. You cannot point at a rail. And being unexperienced along those lines, when I see one spot, you know, I thought the others didn't see it. And I stand over there. That old man nearly busted me, if I can imagine. It's a big deal.
Oh,
it's a big deal. I thought with that line you can say anything. Either it's even quite a tail line or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Then you have to dry it again. Yeah. Have to dry it and roll it. You have to tie the line together when it goes over the tip, see? Because you're just stiff to string. If one touches you in the arm or in the, over the head or in the legs, you're finished. You throw that out with the rope, see? But that you are tied in four places with a fine balloon. And throw the whole thing out there, then the word pulls on it while it breaks all those ties, see? And it's a lengthy tie. No, you're sitting they sit right over the foot. But you have to learn how to hold a foot so they don't spring up. You try to hold them out. As soon as the striker, you watch the striker. As soon as you try to spring out, add to the foot. There's one here and one over there. Yeah. Shut up. Yeah, if he's a good striker, he strikes right down. With the thing in his hand. Yeah, because especially when a whale is struck once already, when the others come up, and sometimes when a whale is struck, I tell you, that's something they do. When he comes up, they start nodding their blood, so it's just, if you go near them, and then he may have to throw that, see? No, harpoon. Yeah, with the diving gun. Last time they said when the whale lies almost still out of it. It's out of the air, out of it. He can't go down anymore. He's when the length and it's a long length. The length the length comes in two parts of handle. And you can they fit together. The other one, you lash them around so they don't have to go too close if the whale is too mean. So they can reach them in that part of it. Probably 20 feet of it. It's that long, yeah. Oh yeah, those length handles, they come apart, see? So they fit in the book. And then the hacker, when they know that a whale is already hard pinned, they're going to get ready and lash the handles together, then they reach out and finish. One time we had a whale that belonged to our family, belonged to the group I handled it, Jesus. The whale was practically dead as far as we know. We were all standing there on the ice. The whale was lying here. Didn't move at all. So they were deciding, could you launch him or not? And they decided, oh, he's dead already. The side cavity of the head, the mouth, is next to the surgeon's hair in the center. They had one with 11 short foot, 10 foot, I saw the rope on up there. They had one just feet long, I think. So that rope is about 50 feet.
And
yeah, I was just close to how everybody hooked us on. One boat, they used the motor, yeah, to go in. So I think it's over already for that day. They cannot handle it. It's enough to him. It's enough for anybody to handle it. It's got a lot of this to go in the park. Sometimes you have to think about that. You cannot, if the weather is getting bad, the ice is too bad, you cannot get through with the loaded boat, then you have to think the whole thing. The skeleton and the meat, the heart. You just take off the blubber and the whatever the thing grab and go home.
Mm-hmm.
You mean how long the whale would last?
Yeah,
how long the
whale would last?
Oh, two whales with two and two, all right. They have other things to eat too. At St. Barra, when I was up there, they had 17, I think, a couple of years ago. Last year, I think only two or four. They had that many and you could hardly get a piece of metal up there. It's all divided up, and then some people who didn't get in on that, they had to pay $1 and have a pound for their metal. Tons and tons of metal there, those people. The store has a lot of it up there. But I mean, when I say you can hardly get it, I mean get it cheap. In the houses, they hardly had any. In the cellar. Yeah, it's just closing out. Better ones than they have in the cellar. You mean cellar? Yeah, they got two things over there. They're closing out. The method?
Yeah.
Eat it raw mostly. Some people boil it. But you can eat it raw. Just the skin and the fat in it.
I'm not really
Maybe the old step building has something to do about the belt. You were dead before I got there. That's what people are thinking of here.
Talk on whale hunting in St. Lawrence Island.